I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up, India and Pakistan briefly set aside their political differences for a series of cricket matches. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
How do you know I'm really here? How do you know I even exist?
You know, I understand the question, and I am tempted to shout sports before we even begin, but we're off and running. Notre Dame
Fake sports!
Notre Dame linebacker Manti Te'o's dying and then deceased girlfriend turned out to be a figment of somebody's imagination. I was going to suggest that we start by discussing the well-established and clear facts in this case, but that's not so easy.
No, because there are very few of them at this point. I don't know what's going on. It's entirely possible, as people have argued to me, that he's the mark in an elaborate con that he kept going because it would be too embarrassing to admit he'd been conned. The relentless myth-making machinery of Notre Dame being in overdrive on this story tends to make me believe less in that theory almost by the hour than in the possibility that he fell for a hoax and then found it profitable to keep going with it. I refuse to stand here and call the man a victim. I refuse to call Notre Dame a victim. I refuse to stop laughing at the whole thing. I refuse to stop making cheap jokes. I have no idea where this is going to go, except that some people at some fact-checking departments at major magazines are in for a rough couple of weeks.
Well, we could fill a year's worth of Only a Games with one-liners and jokes associated with the Te'o situation, but one independent baseball team, I think, gets the prize for creativity along that line, don't you think?
Yeah, the Florence Freedom in Florence, Kentucky has already announced, this is being January now, remember, the, quote, Manti Te'o Girlfriend Bobblehead Day, in which this is going to happen in late May, the first 1,000 hands will get a bobblehead box that, wait for it, is empty. And then there will be a pretend kiss cam for fans to kiss their imaginary friends. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's going to also be an imaginary food fight for the kids, as well as an air guitar contest.
Sure, of course. Charlie, I had never imagined that our conversation would include Oprah Winfrey, but this week I suppose that it must. What, if anything, has Lance Armstrong accomplished by confessing to Ms. Winfrey on her network?
Well, he's yet to accomplish the simple fact of making me care as much as a lot of other people do about this story. You've got the Director General of the World Anti-Doping Agency, an organization which, as I've pointed out before, is fairly the living definition of Mel Brooks's warning from Blazing Saddles, gentlemen, our phony baloney jobs are at stake here, who says that Lance Armstrong now has to go to court and get under oath, where the director general of the World Anti-Doping Agency gets off telling anybody they have to go to court and swear an oath is beyond me. You know, I don't think he's accomplished anything except make himself look ridiculous and give other people opportunities to do the same.
In November, we reported on the challenge the Armstrong scandal was causing for the MLS team Sporting KC, which played in Livestrong Park. Note the past tense there.
Yeah, they changed the name because the team says that its trust and faith in the partnership has been permanently damaged. So it's now going to be called Sporting Park. And, of course, they're still going to do the best they can against cancer, but they're not going to call themselves Livestrong anymore. I don't know. I suppose that, you know, this is a good PR move for them.
The NFL semifinals, otherwise known as the conference championship games, will occur on Sunday. Your picks first for San Francisco v. Atlanta.
I think Atlanta wins. Atlanta's playing at home. I think they've gotten over the hump in terms of being able to win a playoff game. I think Matt Ryan has also gotten that monkey off his back on an individual basis, and I think the trip east is going to be tough on the 49ers.
And how about Baltimore Ravens
v.
New England Patriots?
I have no idea. Baltimore should have won this game up here last year. They missed a field goal. Joe Flacco really did outplay Tom Brady. I don't see any way the Ravens keep the Patriots from scoring between 28 and 36 points, so I think the Patriots do win.
Among New England's most excited fans is Boston Mayor Tom Menino. Any indication that he's perhaps a little too excited?
Well, it's hard to know whether it's just excited or whether he's just being thrown for a loss by the English language again, which happens a great number of times.
And yet he keeps
his
getting
honor.
Elected.
Absolutely, because the English language doesn't vote. He was talking to the mayor of Baltimore about the players on the Patriots, and apparently they now have a guy called Wilcock, who I may or may not be Menino speak for Vince Wilfork. And then they have an injured tight end named Gronk, which may or may not be Menino speak for Gronk or Rob Gronkowski, although it's hard to know, actually.
Those guys are really going to help him out on Sunday.
But I would be very reluctant to tease either one of these guys on this basis.
The NFL's punishment of players allegedly involved in the New Orleans Saints bounty program was dismissed, and so I guess turnabout is fair play for Jonathan Vilma.
His defamation suit against Roger Goodell was dismissed. the U.S. District Judge in New Orleans was going to wait on ruling on this particular case till things got adjudicated in the NFL. Once it did, she wanted it off her desk, and it's gone.
The Chicago Bears play in the NFC North, but they know that the division stops at the Canadian border, right?
This is an interesting thing. This is a big risk for the Bears to take. They hired Mark Trestman, who's the coach of the Montreal Alouettes in the CFL. His offenses are particularly well-designed, and the Bears should really get some credit for taking a chance here.
Charlie, the NHL is in action this weekend. Wait, that must be a typo. Oh,
no.
No, my expert staff tells me.
We're playing hockey.
That's accurate. The NHL is, in fact, getting back to playing hockey. The league has issued an open letter to fans. What, there's no sorry about our recent sports work stoppage section in the greeting card aisle?
Dear suckers.
Keep buying
tickets. As a means of expressing our utter contempt for the players and you, we are bringing the season back halfway. No, it's not. There's a nice letter from the NHL saying, dear fans, the NHL is thanking you for your patience and apologizing for all the time we've missed, you know, while we exercise our enormous contempt for everybody who pays our bills. But yes, hockey's back, and that is a good thing. Hurrah.
The NBA's All-Star balloting tallies are in. Do you think Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant was holding his breath in anticipation?
No, he made his 15th consecutive All-Star team, which is an NBA record, which is kind of remarkable when you think about the long careers, you know, other players have had that they didn't make 15 All-Star. How did Karl Malone not make 15 All-Star teams in a row?
Or Kareem.
But in any event, the interesting thing is that Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Garnett will be starting as teammates on
Excellent.
The Eastern squad.
That should go well.
What could possibly go wrong there?
In other NBA news, a lawyer in Florida is suing the San Antonio Spurs for, quote, economic damages the attorney allegedly suffered. Explain, please, counselor.
Greg Popovich arrested four of his players during a nationally televised game against Miami, and some guy named Larry McGinnis and his lawyer, both of whom obviously have very little to do with their lives, have decided to set up a class action suit saying that Popovich intentionally and surreptitiously, which is misspelled in the complaint, by the way, sent the best players home without the knowledge of anyone, and that he, quote, suffered economic damages as a result of paying premium price for a ticket that shouldn't cost more. I'm waiting for the next guy who sues a team that simply plays badly. Because he didn't get, or a home fan who sues because his team lost.
And at some high school swimming meets in Colorado,
I love this story.
Girls in the pool might be overheard saying, wow, she's swimming like an Olympian. And even that's an understatement of sorts, right?
Missy Franklin, who, God bless her, won 5 Olympic gold medals and is still swimming for Regis Jesuit High School, is now competing in the high school swimming season in Colorado. And, of course, you have to get up on the blocks and you look over and go, ah!
I think I know how they could make this fair.
Make her lane longer.
No.
Oh.
Have her swim with all 5 medals around her neck.
That would be cool,
yeah,
by the way.
I think that would even the playing
field.
But,
I mean,
you
have to love the fact that she didn't take the money, which would have rendered her ineligible.
Absolutely.
She's back competing for the glory of Regis Jesuit High School again.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. And, of course, he joins me each week here on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
I loved my swimming lessons.
If you have tales to tell which involve Olympians running roughshod over hapless high schoolers, Stanley Cup champions decking feckless peewees, or major leaguers majorly mauling minor leaguers, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/onlyagameradio, and tell us about it. That's facebook.com/onlyagameradio.
That sure took a lot of lessons, so I'm glad.